Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Awaken Life. It's 3 o'clock on Monday, and so you are tuned in to Awaken Life Talk Radio Evolved. And you're listening here on KKNW 1150 and Transformation Talk Radio WBLQ, which is our flagship station out in Rhode Island. So we're coming to you coast to coast. And, of course, as usual, I'm joined by my two sidekicks here, Rick Seward and Paul DeFuria. You guys ready to go?
We are ready.
Ready to go.
I tell you what, if you've had a boring afternoon so far, buckle your seatbelt. Because today we're talking about getting blissed out through meditation and why meditation is actually better than sex, drugs, and rock and roll combined. And, Grandma, I know you might be listening out there. And just want to assure you that... You know, we'll stay inbounds here.
Yeah, we'll keep it civil.
And Eric, it's good to have you here too. Thanks. How are you doing?
I'm doing pretty well. Yeah.
You have a good weekend?
I did. Yeah. Lots of stuff, lots of projects going on. So I'm looking forward to the show today to get grounded, to kind of mellow out and not think about the frenzy that's surrounding me lately.
Sure. So. Well, yeah. Well, there'll definitely be some time to mellow out today, and there'll be some time to talk about some things that are not too mellow at all.
All right. Nice combination.
Oh, well, thanks for your work over there as usual. So the title today is Blissed Out, really. I mean, this is we talk about awakening every week, and one aspect of the awakening experience is the bliss. I mean, really deep, profound, radical bliss that's experienced in meditation. And so we're going to talk about these states of consciousness. We're going to talk about different ways to access these states of consciousness. Different ways of talking about these states, which really can't be described in words. So we'll fail in that. And we're aware of that. And we'll be talking about everything from near-death experiences, drug experiences, shamanism, all of the different ways in which we are able to access these states. And we're also going to talk about the difference between what a state of consciousness is and what a stage of consciousness is, because that's one of the things that Western psychology has really given to the spiritual path is an understanding of levels and how we grow and evolve through those levels. And so we're going to just differentiate a little bit between the state, the blissed out, you know, ecstatic oneness with all being, and also the, you know, that growth process that tends to take place over a longer period of time. However, even that period of time has been shortened with the recent quickening that's happening on our planet, which you've heard us talk about quite a bit. So right off the bat, why don't we just kind of set the groundwork for this conversation? Paul and I were talking last night about the difference between a state of consciousness and a stage of consciousness. And Paul, could you enlighten us a little bit on that?
Do you want to start with stages or states?
Well, let's start with states.
Okay. In general terms, there it depends on what model you're using, but we'll just keep it really simple. There's the gross, subtle, and causal states, right? So the gross is the physical, that's more dense, mm-hmm. and the subtle is the kind of realm of ideas and dreams and thoughts and images and things that are in that realm, right? The more subtle experience of your own awareness. And the causal is your empty, open, spacious awareness. That's the in the Tibetan tradition they call it the very subtle.
Mm.
Okay, and then the Tibetans also add the witnessing awareness. So that's the Turiya state, witness of those three states, and they roughly correspond to waking state.
Mm-hmm.
That's the gross realm, the dream state, which
yep.
is subtle, and then the deep dreamless sleep. So every day. You go through these, you abide in those three states,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
So you have the experience of it every day. So it's not something foreign. These aren't, abstract concepts.
Mm-hmm.
And what we've been talking a lot about is the importance to be witnessing your states.
Right.
And, that's where the meditation training comes in.
Right. Right. Now I just want to check in with you, Dad. Did you understand that? Because, I mean, there's some new terminology being thrown around here.
Well, let's see, this empty openness, what's that all about?
Sunyata.
Yes.
Sunyata. So
that's a Japanese term meaning emptiness.
Right.
But the idea that there's stuff, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then there's the ground of being, which is the space in which the stuff comes up.
Right.
You can't have stuff without having The absence of stuff, right? Okay, right. So there it is.
So it's like the space in which everything happens.
It's not a vacuum. You can actually feel it, and you experience it every day. That's the point.
Right, and that also correlates with deep dreamless sleep, the state that you mentioned before. Okay.
Okay, so most people, for the most part, when they're awake, they're conscious. Now, not everybody.
Right.
People sleep walking through life, but people are aware of their being awake. A lot, and some people can do dream yoga and actually stay very conscious during dreams, so they can do something like a lucid dream, where they wake up and realize I'm actually dreaming. This is the whole point of the Matrix.
Right.
You know, you're awake in a life dream. So then you can change your dream. You can fly around or you can do anything like that.
Right.
And then there are some people who have trained themselves so well in meditation that they can literally keep that subtle awareness or I amness or ever-present awareness through deep dreamless sleep. So they never go into a deep slumber where they lose consciousness. Mm-hmm. That's a string. There's a constant movement where they're aware. There's a witnessing awareness from day to day and moment to moment.
Mm-hmm.
So that
is... I've heard people that have meditated for around 20 years consistently have that experience, usually. I've had glimpses of that, I'll just say, for myself personally, you know, where it's felt like I've maintained that consciousness, you know, into dream and sleep. You know, and that's after about 10 years of pretty rigorous practice.
Well, we talk a lot about identity. And if you think about it, in the gross realm, people identify with their bodies, with their name tags, with all kinds of physical objects, right? Mm-hmm. When you fall off to sleep, you drop a lot of that, right?
Mm-hmm.
So the images and people and things are much more fluid. You're not so close to identified.
I thought of this recently, actually, as a definition for ego. You know, when you're falling asleep and then you kind of catch yourself, you feel like you're falling and you catch yourself, that is ego.
Yeah.
That's an example of the self contracting from that subtle realm,
right?
Back into the gross realm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, when you go farther into deep dreamless sleep, there's literally no dreams, no images, no thoughts. There's no you.
Right.
Right. So when you wake up, you know that phenomenon. You're like, who am I? Where am I? What is this? You know, for a moment, you don't remember.
Yeah, it's gone. Yeah.
Right. Well, what you do is you come back into the growth state where all these things exist, and then you begin they come up, and the question is, can you keep the same level of awareness that's aware of these just objects in your awareness now?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so without getting attached to them or identifying with them.
Right.
Is the whole click, you know, the whole trick with the contemplative traditions is, as soon as you identify something with something that isn't really you, it's not real, then you suffer.
Right.
You know, I was listening to a rap song today by Drake, and it's called Real Is On The Rise. I like that. Who is this guy? That's the game.
I like that. Real is on the rise.
Stay conscious. You know, stay awake. Don't go to sleep.
It reminds me of, you know, Ken Wilber. Some of you are familiar with him. One of the things he said is that he read a quote by Ramana Maharishi, who's one of the greatest sages of the 20th century, and it said, only that. That which is not present in deep dreamless sleep is not real.
Yes.
And it's when he heard that quote, he became more serious about meditation, he says. That which is not present in deep dreamless sleep is not real. So that does leave everything else. I mean, essentially, the dream state and the waking state is the imagination of God. And A Course in Miracles, for those of you who are familiar, I mean, it's going into this again and again. It's talking about the dream, the illusion that you've forgotten who you really are. Essentially, the one who's dreaming gets lost in the dream and starts to think the dream is real.
Yeah.
And that's part of what, you know, why state training is so important, why we're talking about it today, is because, you know, as you're plunging into subtle states and then plunging even further into, you know, non-dual causal, very subtle states, turiya titta, which we'll talk more later what those are, you are waking up from the dream. But that doesn't mean that the dream ends. It means that you come back into the dream, but much more conscious, much more aware, as the one behind it, right?
That's it. That's the game.
So let's talk. So we've outlined states. And that's going to be the focus of the show. And each of us today are going to share some of our own personal state experiences, as well as, you know, if you're out there and you'd like to share a state experience, we'd like to encourage you to do that too. And we'll give you the number later and just kind of reach out and see if you're out there. But we're going to be talking about states. stages, Paul. Why don't you give us just a brief rundown on the difference between a state and a stage?
Okay. Well, the developmental stages, people like Piaget and Maslow's hierarchy of needs, mm-hmm. James Baldwin, sort of the grandfather of developmental movement, where they say, okay, we actually see these structures in consciousness mm-hmm. where people actually move through them. Mm-hmm. And one of the characteristics of it is that when you start to reach the next stage, things get cattywampus. Right? Things kind of go off and because you begin to really kind of bump up against a worldview where used to things make sense. Now they're stopped. They don't quite make sense as well.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You need a bigger and broader picture of things.
Puzzle pieces just don't quite fit.
So it's sort of like being on a ladder. You can only see so much territory. Every time you take a step up, you can see more of the territory, but it didn't mean you haven't hit every step on the way. Mm-hmm. So that way you can include every experience you've had, but you also include more of a perspective. You can take a broader perspective. Now, this, cultures go through this. They've tracked how societies do this. Early childhood development, that was big. How brains of children develop.
Yep.
That's the big thing now, actually, is brain research about how adult brains are developing through structures of consciousness, mm-hmm. right? But the main ones, if you to break it down, they correspond with chakras, essentially.
Mm-hmm.
So it's archaic, magic, mythic, traditional, modern, relativistic, and then what we're calling integral.
Mm-hmm. So wow, that's a mouthful right
that
there.
Holy okay. cow. So how are these? I'll kind of if we break it down.
I'm going to stop you, Paul. We got to go to break.
I'll make it much more simple on the way.
When we come back, we're gonna flush this out for you because I mean this is kind of so there's some new terminology here, but it's really important to understand. I mean how we move. I mean it's like grade school. You know, you go from first grade to sixth grade, and at each level, it's sort of a new experience and a new curriculum. But we're gonna flush it out. We're gonna go to our break. Stay tuned. You don't want to miss what we've got coming here. We're gonna get blissed out. So you're listening to Awaken Life on KKNW and Transformation Talk Radio.
Are you upside down on your home loan and facing foreclosure? Washington's Foreclosure Fairness Act takes effect on July 13th and requires your mortgage holder to grant you a face-to-face meeting to negotiate modifications to your loan that may let you keep your house. More than 5,600 homes were seized in the first 3 months of this year in the state of Washington. Don't let this happen to you. Visit foreclosurefairness.net. That's foreclosurefairness.net. Or call 206-818-9732, your home safety net.
There's an exciting new astrology hour, Tuesdays at 5 p.m. with Deborah Silverman. Deborah's unique blend of psychology and astrology turns planetary language into plain English. Join us for an interactive hour that's guaranteed to give you personal insights in a fun and entertaining way. Tune in to Deborah Silverman Live. Whatever your life question, marriage, job, family, relocation, or just curiosity, call for a live reading Tuesdays at 5 p.m. and visit Deborah's website at DeborahSilvermanAstrology.com.
Hi, this is Adam Seward.
And this is Rick Seward.
And together we've partnered to bring you Awaken Life every Monday at 3 here on KKNW 1150 AM. We are fully committed to supporting the unfolding of human and planetary consciousness, and that's why we've also created the Silence Foundation. Well, what is the Silence Foundation? The Silence Foundation is an organization that's dedicated to facilitating the unfolding of human and planetary consciousness through the creation and distribution of what we're calling Awaken Media. We'd love to connect with you. If you'd like to learn more about the Silence Foundation, go to www.adamsewardcounseling.net, fill out our contact form, and we'll get in touch with you right away. Again, that's adamsewardcounseling.net. We look forward to hearing from you.
On the rise, your mother dies. I even gave him a chance to decide.
Hey everybody, welcome back to Awaken Life. Real is on the rise. right before break, I kind of cut Paul off because he was talking about stages. But I want you all to hear this because we're talking about the difference between states and stages, and it's important to understand that when you have that blissed out experience, right? And then you come back to Earth, in a sense, and And it's like, wait a second, where's that bliss that was just there? And you sort of realize that the intensity of it was temporary and that you're back on a certain level of solid ground in a sense. I feel like what we're saying, Paul, is that ground is what makes up the stage. It's like that home base, in a sense, is what your stage of consciousness right. is.
And the key piece there is you're going to interpret any experience you have or any state experience at the stage you're in.
Right.
So when the state ends, so it kind of wears off and it's passed, then how you interpret that experience is wherever you are developmentally, right? However you see, whatever worldview you fit in, that's how you're going to interpret that experience.
Right.
That's key to understand.
So the state is the same, but the way it's filtered
right.
is it's being filtered through a certain stage or a level of
that's exactly right. And so this whole idea of using meditation or some other contemplative practice to actually speed you through the stages, because they've
yes.
done quite a bit of research around this, and they found it's the only thing. They don't really know how transformation happens. It's sort of a mystery, but they know that when you meditate and do a meditative practice, it speeds the movement through the stages,
right.
kind of greases the skids. You
right.
through. Most people, when they get to a certain place by about 20, they don't shift until past their 50th birthday
right.
in stages.
Mm-hmm.
But when they take a meditation practice, they can move three stages in a few years.
Right.
It's just sort of unheard of. And but the basic stages, and like to keep it really basic, is egocentric,
mm-hmm.
like what's in it for me.
Right.
Ethnocentric, what's in it for me and mine.
Right, like right. My clan,
yeah. family and friends and the people who believe what I do.
Right,
my culture.
Right. right.
And then the next one is all of us, like, you know,
world-centric.
Me, mine, and all, yes.
Right.
World-centrism, right. So that's the idea, is as you move, evolutionarily speaking, it's a broader and broader perspective.
Right. And then cosmocentric, right?
Then you're at the bodhisattva stage when your whole practice is about the awakening of all conscious and sentient beings, right?
That's
and
right.
And then it's all the way out.
That's
however
it.
You want to take it.
That's
you know,
right.
but let's just, you know, if we just keep it in, you can see we're in our culture right now that's being played out.
Yeah.
Like there is the, what they call the Tea Party movement
mm-hmm.
and the Flea Party movement, right? So the Tea Partiers are, sort of at that traditional level.
Yeah.
Right? And they call it absolutistic, which means there's a real right and wrong, black and white, right?
Mm-hmm.
That kind of thinking. And their thing is sort of like, hey, leave us, in terms of the government, leave us alone.
Mm-hmm.
Just leave us alone. We want to kind of be with ours, right?
Yep.
Now, on the flip side, with the flea party,
yeah.
they're more like inclusive. Hey, let's bring everybody together.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so those are the value clash that's happening.
Right.
Okay. So that's in broad terms. But
right.
the idea is, you know, whatever state you're experiencing, wherever you are in your life, at that, you know, you're going to interpret it what's happening at that level.
So, like, if you have a blissed out experience, let's say, and you're at the absolutistic stage,
yeah,
you have this, you know, you're in prayer, you're in meditation, and you just have this, you know, blowout, right?
That's right.
Which is one way to talk about it. How are you going to interpret that if you're at that absolutistic stage?
That's a great
stage.
One. You know, the Baptists have it all going in that regard, right?
Right.
So they get a state experience going by the, you know, the past. They'll sing and they'll pray and they pray and they get into
well,
it.
They get down.
Yeah, right.
they know how to create a state experience.
They do. They absolutely do. And then they'll drop into it.
Right.
But, it, you know, that meme or that worldview is very much about rules. And
right.
there's things you do and you don't do.
Right.
So that's where the commandments come in. And
right.
that's where you have to make sure that you have permissions. Exactly. Right. So that you do certain things and certain things are off limits. And,
right.
you know, it's really no gray. And that, you know, those rules are really important. So there's a good
yeah.
and evil.
There's never a situation where this is okay. This is always wrong because the Bible's, or it's against the law, or the Bible says so, whatever.
And, you know, there's a healthy aspect of that where there's rules, right?
Oh, well, absolutely.
So there's a healthy and unhealthy side. So when you get to the point where it has to be this way, it can get unhealthy.
Mm-hmm.
The healthy piece is like, you're on time. You do what you say you're going to do, right? So you have a level of integrity, see, right? So it's
right.
those kind of things, right?
Right. There's a certain level of structure there.
And it keeps that. And it's great. You know, the military is, or the Boy Scouts is a good example of that, where they, you know, you got the rules and you just follow the rules and it's, you know, it's like that. But there's also a good, the group identity is very strong.
Right.
But there is a us against them kind of thing that comes into play.
Right. So. Well, and it reminds me of, just the the relationship between that state experience and then that level, it's like, when you grow, you actually include the good pieces of the previous, right? So it's like the person who has evolved through the stages, they're taking with them whatever positive was from the previous stage, but integrating it or using it in a much larger way.
Yeah, that's right. And yeah. Because once you have an experience, you can't unhave it.
Right.
It's more information. And so then it gets integrated and you're able to hold more, you know, truth, as it were.
Right.
So there's no regression, and that's what they find in developmental studies. People don't really regress.
Right.
Well, it's a kind of maturation. Mm-hmm. And so where people tend to go from that place is into the rational.
Right.
And that's the modern view. And
science.
That's science. And so then they'll go into, like, prove it to me, and I want facts, and
sure.
I want empiricism, and I want that kind of thing.
So was the world really created in 7 days?
That's right. So then they begin to get into arguments with people who are at the traditional level about science and evolution. So the battle becomes about that, you know.
Right. Right.
So there's a mythology that happens at that traditional level.
So, right? Here's another question. So I have that blissed out experience. I come back into the rational stage.
That's right.
What is that?
Well,
how am I going to interpret that?
That's right. Well, the minds begin to start putting two and two together, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it starts to say, oh, now things make such sense. And then they use, look at all the facts that I'm seeing that prove this hypothesis.
Sure.
So then they begin to use their mind in a way to help open up into that experience again.
Right.
Does that make sense?
Right. Well, yeah, it does. And it reminds me of how, you know, people talk about intelligent design or, you know, the way that this transcendent being that you experience through in that state is present within the natural laws of the universe, in a sense.
That's right.
You know, like Newtonian physics. But then even beyond that, you know, you have so many mystics today who are physicists, right?
That's right.
And, you know, people who have really found their path to God through studying, you know, the universe in its smallest aspects. I say small, but, you know, just looking at the, through microscope. Yeah.
That's right.
The stuff of the universe.
Yeah, well, then when it moves past that stage, you're into more relative, and that's when it gets like there isn't an absolute right and wrong. There's a healthy side of it. That's Einstein kind of in science talked about theory of relativity and blew Isaac Newton out of the water.
Yeah,
because Isaac just said there's stuff and it moves and it's like that. It's math
and it's predictable.
Right, and then he said, wait a sec, it's all relative.
Right,
you know, and so and there's only constants of speed of light. Now they're even wondering if that's true. So it's all like relative. Now there's a healthy side of that. You become more, you kind of flow more, right? And the people who are associated with this are like environmentalists and the people who are camping out, hippies and all the rest.
Yep.
You know, they want to be interdependent. They see the world. They talk about the planet.
Right.
See how they're identifying themselves, not as me or just mine, but all, the earth and that's really becomes paramount.
Right.
So, and none of these stages are wrong. And one of the things to know about them is you cannot skip them. Any more than you can skip the second grade. You can't do it. You just can't do it. And there's nothing wrong with any of them. And there's each one has a gift. So.
Yeah. Well, you could say each one's sort of a building block and we need all of this. I mean, each one supports the other ones, even when it feels like one is imposing its values.
Right.
On the other.
Now, the unhealthy side of that relative is that there isn't any good or right or wrong, and then they get lost in the weeds, as it were.
Yeah.
Right? It becomes mushy and soft and confusing, and all. And they get, they go into existential crisis when it gets to a real extreme. Like, what does it all mean, and who cares? And
right.
What,
Well, there's that place of the dark night of the soul where basically, you give way to nihilism. You know, it's just like nothing means anything.
See, that's the transition into the next stage. It starts getting wonky, right?
There are people out there listening right now that are in that stage.
Absolutely.
They are right. They're right. And I'm talking to you. If you're in that place, of everything, nothing means anything. That can be a really difficult and gray place to be.
It's awful.
But it's also that place that is literally knocking at the door. It's right before the one thing that means everything begins to shine through.
Yeah.
Right?
You know, it doesn't feel, it feels like you're being torn apart.
Yeah.
You know, I equate it to going into a black hole, and, you know, then you just come apart completely.
Right.
But then, you know, so the integral stage or that final stage is sort of the stage beyond the stages. Mm-hmm. And that's like popping through to the white hole on the other side. Mm-hmm. Like, then you can, you know, there's equanimity. Yep. And then the seeking is over at this point.
Right.
And so that stage, you can really hold all the perspectives that came before it. And there's a lot of happiness and peace and freedom in it. That's been a focus for what we're talking about. And the key is how it relates to what we started talking about, is how does these state experiences lend themselves for our transformation, basically.
Right.
And there's it plays an important piece.
Huge.
It's worth talking about.
Huge. Well, you know, it's...
So where do you want to begin? Do you want to talk about, like, maybe near-death experiences, our own kind of deepic states?
These are all states that have a huge impact on people's lives. I mean, I know a number of people have had the near-death experience. It's completely, you know, reoriented their path and their trajectory in life. And it's that way with, you know, the Satori experience or the Nirvi Kalpa Samadhi experience. And those are that's what I'm really excited to talk about. Yeah, so
those are for the listener. Those are experiences you have in meditation. Essentially.
Those are meditative experiences. Mm-hmm. So, and that's what we're going to talk about. You don't want to miss it. We're going to go to break. Stay with us. We'll be talking about more states.
At the law offices of Richard D. Seward, we care about our clients. We offer important legal advice and services to help them grow their wealth and protect it. We manage the risks and help the financially distressed through the recovery process. We are committed and dedicated to helping people throughout Western Washington and beyond with our expertise in business, real estate, tax law, and debt relief. Find us at richardseward.com or call us at 360-876-6425. We care about you.
Listen to the Marie Manucherry Show, where energy and medicine meet, every Tuesday and Thursday at noon. It's intelligent and provocative radio. Tuesdays is Boot Camp for the Soul to help you soar. Thursdays, Marie interviews guests from an incredibly talented lineup. To learn more about Marie and her radio show, visit energyintuitive.com or connect with her on Facebook and Twitter. That's the Marie Manucherry Show, every Tuesday and Thursday at noon here on Alternative Talk 1150.
Called the Oprah of radio by her listeners, award-winning host Dr. Pat Basile is blowing the doors off traditional talk radio. Get ready for powerful interviews with leaders in the field of human potential. Dr. Pat's perspective on living life full out has catapulted her show to the top of talk radio. Tune in, and Dr. Pat will help you thrive instead of merely survive. Listen to the Dr. Pat Show Monday through Friday, 10 a.m. to noon on AM 1150, KKNW, and visit thedrpatshow.com.
Hey, everybody, welcome back to Awaken Life. We are talking about getting blissed out through meditation and why that's better than sex, drugs, and rock and roll combined. And we're also differentiating, if you've been listening for the first half, we're differentiating between a state of consciousness and a stage of development, because it's an important distinction to draw. But we've laid that framework down. Now let's talk about states, because there's a lot of territory that relates to states of consciousness. I mean, anything from near-death experiences to drug experiences through entheogens, through meditative states, you know, states that are achieved through very specific forms of meditative technology, like Kriya Yoga, holotropic breathing.
All right, so the entheogens are used to power plants or things like ecstasy and LSD and all the rest. See, back in the 60s, they were testing this, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then they stopped doing it. There were some bad experiences and whatnot, and it was made illegal and everything. But now what they're doing, there's government-funded studies where they're using these hallucinogenic drugs mm-hmm. as a way to treat post-traumatic stress syndrome. Mm-hmm. So they're the folks coming back from Afghanistan and Iraq, and they're using in a clinical setting, that you know, with oversight, and they're seeing, does this help speed recovery and healing?
Yeah.
And they're finding some astounding things. And one of which is that when people do some of these, take some of these plants, they'll report having this feeling of just unconditional love, or feeling this light and love and feeling of freedom and bliss as a result, which is one of the main characteristics of a near-death experience. And this is cross-cultural, so no matter where you grow up, you have a near-death experience. You're going to feel the sense of well-being and peace.
Right.
That happens about 90% of the time. About 10% of the time, you might see a tunnel or see a light. The unconditional love is a thing's very common. So it doesn't matter where it's happening.
Well, and that's an aspect of most states. I mean, you know, most meditative states, right? I mean, that's one of the characteristics that is common is this, well, a feeling of unity, a feeling of oneness, a feeling of overwhelming love and peace.
People falling in love, that's one of those things. That's a state experience, right? You remember when it happens.
Oh, yeah.
Changes everything, right?
Absolutely, absolutely, and tends to help evolution move forward.
And what they're finding with the drug therapy is that the judicious use of both that in combination with traditional cognitive therapy and meditation can actually speed the transformation. Mm-hmm. If you do them together and... If you get overboard on one, then you can get stuck in it. Mm-hmm. So that's the idea, is that you don't just use it for the sake of using it or for recreational purposes or to escape. Because mm-hmm. we've all found people who found God in their own way through smoking marijuana or taking some drugs or whatever.
Yeah.
And then they get attached to it and they do it so much that it begins to cause a contraction.
Sure.
And they actually, it's regressive in that sense.
Mm-hmm.
So that's not what we're talking about.
Right.
We're talking about something that actually opens you up to the subtler dimensions beyond your ordinary egoic state.
Yeah.
And the more time you spend there, the more comfortable you get, the easier you get in the territory between stages.
It becomes more familiar to you.
It absolutely does. And that's why having a good guide is ideal.
Yeah.
No reason to try to go there by yourself. So get a good spiritual advisor and a good psychological mentor. This is the thing we keep emphasizing. Because you get fast, it accelerates the transformation. And there's another, any athlete who gets in the zone. This is what we're talking about. You could see it if you watch the U.S. Open. Djokovic was playing Federer. And it was match point. And this guy just whips off this winner. It was literally one of those moments. Everyone was watching it. It's like when Tiger made that putt at the Masters, just like time stopped and everyone just, what just happened?
Mm.
You know, these people do magic. They could never do it if they tried, but they get so in the zone, which means they transcend their gross body
mm-hmm.
and they're in this subtle state where everything is a natural intelligence. It just happens on its own.
And it's also the realm of pure possibility. Right.
And if you've fallen in love and you just find the way you're being in it, you just thought, I can't believe I was that way. It was amazing.
Yeah.
It was so effortless. Fantastic.
Yeah, and then you get dumped.
Back to it.
Or you come down from the drug, right?
That's
You know, you come down.
That's right. Well, the key is people get identified with the state because it's so euphoric and so fantastic, they start chasing it around.
Yeah.
Right? And what we've emphasized is there's a witness. There's the ever-present witness of all the states. Right? And it's always aware of the states. Everything that's arising all the time, it's aware of it. And so you got to, you know, that's the thing you want to abide as that. And then you don't then chase the state
mm-hmm.
because that in itself is free and open field of open possibilities that we're talking about.
Right. Because I feel like it could be misunderstood as, you know, drugs or, you know, love, true love or whatever. It sounds funny to put those two together, but, or the near-death experience, it sounds to say that is the path to God doesn't feel complete. It feels like that may be in combination with a very pure intention or in combination with a certain meditative practice that would be, or guidance, you know, from a mentor that would be more powerful or that's really the path.
There's no right or wrong in terms of how you go about it, but no one advanced. Like, if you fall in love with the state of falling in love, essentially, because that's what it is, you know that has a beginning and an end. So this is what we're talking about is something that transcends time. It's actually outside the stream of time. These state experiences are just temporal. They just happen and they kind of come and they go.
Yeah.
And so in Dzogchen, which we've talked a little bit about, one of the teachers will ask somebody, they'll have a, you know, they'll go do an ayahuasca retreat in Peru with a shaman, right? And they come back and they say, oh, my God, it was fantastic. I saw everything was luminous and radiant and it was fantastic. And they'll say, well, when did it happen? And he said, it was last weekend. Well, that's not it.
That's not exactly right.
Yes.
That's it. Not it.
Adam, you know, when you were talking, it really comes back to the four points, the 4 points of awareness, kindness, present moment awareness, gratitude. And, you know, if you focus on those and you'll stay grounded in any practice, any meditative practice.
Well, I'm glad you brought that up because, you know, what that's an example of is showing up. Right.
Yes.
Because one of the things that, you know, we're talking about waking up.
Yes.
And that's really what we're talking about today. It's waking up through these state experiences, waking up through, you know, progressing through the stages of human evolution. But the principles and there's a lot of different principles. Most, you know, in Buddhism, you have the precepts. In Christianity, you have the Ten Commandments. In Islam, you have the pillars. In each system, you see these. And the reason why is because, there's a need to find a way for this love that's cultivated through these states to find its way into your daily life, to find its way into your relationships, to find its way into your workplace.
Yes.
And that's what those are about. That's why, you know, what does it mean to live an awakened life, right?
Yes.
What does that mean? Well, it does mean to wake up, first of all, and to stay awake, to do that work, but then it means to live awake. That's what those are. That means being present. I mean, where are you right now? Where are you? Where are you? Right? Are you there? Are you where you are? Are you here? I mean, how aware are you of your current breath? Right? Because that's where the juice is. That is what it's all about.
Yeah, that's what's real.
That's if you went to that Dzogchen teacher.
That's right.
They'd say that is it. Right.
Yes, that's what they say. What's real is what doesn't begin. Right.
That's the real.
That's what's real. And there's something that's always been aware of that.
Right.
Yep.
And that's the state experience, right? It's like that communion and that closeness, that ecstatic union with what you just said, that which never begins, which is ultimately who you are.
Yes. And at the beginning, the euphoria is often just your ego going, oh, finally, I get a break. Right?
Oh, yeah.
Or,
you know, just like, oh, gosh, I can relax, you know?
Yeah. Well, but it just dissolves, you know? I mean, it's like the ego just dissolves. It's just like...
Some people start to equate the state with their own enlightenment. Right?
Right.
And then the problem is that their own enlightenment only lasts as long as the state does. Right? So when the state fades, so does their awakening.
Yeah.
And that's what we're trying to say is, you know, in the Mahayana Sutras, they have a really good thing about that and about seeking. Because basically what they're saying is if you get that bit of who you are that never comes or goes, and you stop seeking it, Then it's happened, right? So that's the whole thing. But even if you try not to seek it, that becomes more seeking. So the thing is to give up all of that and just to wake up to who you are and what's really happening right now.
Yes. Yeah, that's it. No, and I appreciate it because, you know, that's what it all comes down to. And some people talk about the subtle realm, right? You know, you talked about the dream state, which, you know, for many of us, inner travelers, we've experienced some of that subtle territory. And Alex Gray is an artist that has really mapped that territory in an amazing way. I highly recommend checking out his work if you're curious about what some of the subtle realm looks like. But and that's Alex Gray, G-R-E-Y. Ultimately, the self, right, which is sometimes, you know, referred to as the blue pearl, the capital S self, that That's what Ramana Maharshi was referring to. That's it, it transcends even that light show that for many people, you know, and I experienced this when I first started to plunge into the subtle realm, it was laughter, mm-hmm. uncontrollable laughter and joy mm-hmm. and then and tears. You know, when you see the beauty of that, that place, the subtle place, and it's easy to kind of hang out and want to watch the light show, right? Yeah, sure. But it's the even deeper dimension, the true self, the silence, stillness. That's the real jewel, isn't it, Paul?
That's it. It's all about silence. You know, knowing yourself, grounding yourself in that space where objects crashing into each other, ideas and things that have caused you suffering, don't. You're free mm-hmm. from the free from it. It's not that you can't see it or participate or you just don't have to touch it.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? And people who are struggling, you don't have to touch that.
Mm.
You can just be present with them, feel what you're feeling, feel what they're feeling.
Mm-hmm.
See, it gives you a space to be really right here.
Yeah.
Without having to try to change anything. Because you don't have to, things don't have to be different. You're not addicted to some state that you have to achieve.
Right.
Things don't have to be a certain way. They're just the way they are.
Yeah.
I love it.
Isn't
it,
that good?
It's well, like what you, like what Puff Daddy said after P. Diddy, yeah. after he broke up with J-Lo, and they said, hey, what's going on? It is what it is.
It is exactly what it is.
All right, when we come back, we're going to talk about the brain. How do states relate to the brain? And we're going to kind of put the cherry on top. We're going to talk about the practices that take you into these states so that you can, you know, you can go there right now. Anyway, keep listening. We'll be back. Hi, this is Adam Seward.
And this is Rick Seward.
And together we've partnered to bring you Awaken Life every Monday at 3 here on KKNW 1150 AM. We are fully committed to supporting the unfolding of human and planetary consciousness. And that's why we've also created the Silence Foundation. Well, what is the Silence Foundation? The Silence Foundation is an organization that's dedicated to facilitating the unfolding of human and planetary consciousness through the creation and distribution of what we're calling Awaken Media. We'd love to connect with you. If you'd like to learn more about the Silence Foundation, go to www.adamsewardcounseling.net, fill out our contact form, and we'll get in touch with you right away. Again, that's adamsewardcounseling.net. We look forward to hearing from you.
No, you're not alone, and it's not just you. The things you're experiencing are actually being felt around the world, and there is something you can do about it. Tune in for It's Not Just You with Lorelei Spiegelman, Susan Wayman, and Siobhan Mitchell, three professional women of wisdom who compare current events and how they offer you insight into your own personal world. Monday morning at 9 a.m.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back. You are listening to Awaken Life. My name's Adam Seward. Before we go any further, I got to tell you about who we're having on the show next week. Michael T. Murray. He is one of the world's leading authorities on natural medicine. He has written over 30 books. A textbook of natural medicine, encyclopedia of natural medicine. He's been on Oprah. He's been on Dr. Oz. He really is a pioneer in the field and doing amazing things. So I am extremely excited to announce that he's going to be on. You're not going to want to miss that show next week. So, check it out. It'll be next Monday at 3. So we've been talking about states. We've probably been experiencing some nice states too, as we've been doing that. Or maybe all three states, waking, dreaming, and deep sleep. But what about the brain, Paul? I mean, I've heard you riff on this before, and it's so interesting.
Well,
I mean,
new studies about the brain using magnetic resonancing technology, it's fantastic. So Daniel Goleman out of Harvard is kind of he wrote the book about emotional intelligence.
Mm-hmm.
And that's really talking about how the brain, what we're learning about the structure of how the brain works, and how it lends itself to sort of the emotional and spiritual maturity of essentially moving through stages.
Yeah.
Right? And what these guys did, a whole team of neuroscience, they basically went to Tibet with all their equipment, and they started, they put in the machines these guys who are basically what they call Olympic meditators.
Yeah.
Which is, you know, if you do anything 50,000 hours, you're going to be a master. Like, right. You know, like the Olympic athletes have done it 50,000 hours. So these guys meditate for 50,000 hours, and they wanted to see, are their brains different? How do they work? And when they turned on the lights, right?
Yep.
It's unbelievable what they saw. They were like, couldn't believe it.
Yeah.
And essentially, the part of the brain, it's the behind your left eye, if you can imagine. It's immediately behind your left eye. It's your left prefrontal cortex, right? Mm-hmm. And this is the place in your brain where you experience bliss in these higher stages of awareness. It gets lit up at a Dave Matthews concert, or you are in love, or all these beautiful places, right?
Yeah.
Now, behind your right eye, that's where you process the difficult emotions, right? So the landlord calls with the rent, and that's, you know, the boss wants the work done. That is all happening. So what they're saying is there's this capacity to the right-left brain shift, right? So the information comes and stimulates the brain, but then it shifts from the right side to the left side of the prefrontal cortex. So you go from, you know, well, these monks, there wasn't even any shift. They turn on the lights. It was blank on the right side, and the left side just lit up.
Yeah.
Right?
Yep.
And they call one guy what they call the happiest guy on earth. And he was this monk from Vietnam, I think. And he was just, you know, happy. And everyone thinks, this guy, how could anyone be that happy?
Right.
Until they actually saw it. And for the, like we talked about, the rational or modern people want empirical evidence.
Yes.
When they saw a picture of it, they're like, wow, this is, something's going on. By simply just sitting there and breathing, paying attention, doing Vipassana meditation or one of these other kind of meditations where you can, you know, really drop into.
So the universe facilitating its own awakening goes up into a cave, finds out this info, comes down the mountain, and creates a product or a teaching that helps us Westerners, you know, that are sitting in front of our computers to achieve the same brain state as these monks.
Yeah.
Thank you, universe. Yes, thanks for making this so easy.
There's this machine, like an EEG machine, which is more electrostimulation of the brain, but you've seen those on TV. If you go and look up on YouTube, Ken Wilber stops his brain.
Yeah.
He puts one of those on and does different types of meditation.
Right.
And there's four different readings. And he'll flatline things.
It's like alpha, theta, delta, beta, and delta.
Right.
Yeah. And he hooks up to the EEG and in one state, he takes all of his brain waves to zero except for the delta state because he's witnessing.
That's right.
And then in the In the next stage, he takes all of the brainwaves, including the delta state, because he's no longer witnessing. He's in the one taste awareness that where even the witness, you know, he says one of his Zen teachers told him at one time, Ken, the witness is the last stand of the ego. And that was when he actually flipped into, you know, Turiatitta. Yeah. It's almost like a non-witnessing witness. But I want to give Holosync a plug real quick. Holosync is one of these modern technologies that, that is designed to take you into these brain states. I actually burned one of the discs for my assistant earlier today because it's so helpful. And, it's
basically a recording of different songs and they activate different parts of your brain and get you into deeper sense.
Binaural technology. It sends one frequency in one ear, a different one in the other. Your brain makes up the difference and that takes you into these different states. It takes you from an alpha into a theta and then into a delta. But you know, if you out there, if you're interested in this technology, go to my website. I have a link to a free demo of it. So go to adamsewardcounseling.net. There's a resources page there, and there's a free demo of this technology. You'll be meditating like a Zen monk.
It works.
It
works.
I shared it with my dad a few years ago. He uses it every day.
Good stuff.
Dad? You use it every day, right?
Just about every day, yeah.
I don't know if there's one tool that I've shared with my entire family other than that. So,
it's relaxing. It's wonderful.
So that's adamsewardcounseling.net, resources for you. That's the page. So the last thing I want to hit on real quick is how do you, other than that, right, other than something like Holosync, how else do you achieve these states? Mm-hmm. Where do, how do you go? I mean, what Paul, what do you, I mean, what can you think of? I mean, it kind of depends on the tradition, you know. In Zen, they call it Satori, mm-hmm. you know, it's that awakening, which, the smaller version of that, or like the snapshot of that, is called a Kensho. It's like a brief glimpse. Yogananda, who's one of my teachers, they talk about Nirvikalpa Samadhi. And that's where basically the ego, they talk about the ego just dissolving into the ocean of being and then recognizing your true identity as totality. That's a good, I like starting my day with that one. Yes. Paul, what do you,
Well, that's what we're talking a little bit about the Mahayana Sutras. They talk about Bodhi, which is the enlightened mind.
Yeah.
And the key is to understand their teaching is always one around non-seeking.
Yeah.
So.
Right.
Right? So as soon as you get that you cannot attain it, that's when you're enlightened. As soon as you get, you can't get it, then you're done.
But these
so when you ask me, what do you need to do? Right. Okay. Here's the thing about the practice.
You don't need to do anything.
Right. All
right.
But here's the thing about the practice. The practice is great. Yeah. All it does is you're giving yourself permission to experience yourself as you really are in your natural state, which is free and incredibly blissful,
yes.
beyond any state of the deepest love you've ever been in. That's your truth. That's your true nature. Mm. They call it Buddha nature or true self or all the rest, right? But get like whether it's a drug or rock and roll or sex.
Yeah,
it's not any of those things that cause it.
Yes,
but just it just makes it so obvious
yes.
that you are aware.
Right,
that's you. Yes. That's it.
That's the pointing out instruction in a sense. It's you know, it's wonderful art, food, music, whatever takes you into that.
Yes,
everything is perfect.
That's in the Hindu, their term for their deity is Satchitananda, right?
Right.
Sat means being, and chit means consciousness, and Ananda means bliss.
Being. Consciousness, bliss.
So that's when, before anything, right? Here, when it shows up, it's radiant light as consciousness. And
right.
That's you, right? And then you see all things, arise like like any of those objects come up.
Sure.
And for a second, you forget. And you think, actually, that's the thing. That's the thing. You see that as radiating.
Yeah,
you
think a potential partner, a really, sexy
whatever.
Potential partner.
Then you think it's that. And
yeah.
you forgot it was actually you.
That's what's going to give me, that's right. what's going to take me into that. Yeah.
So the key, all right. So the key with transformation mm-hmm. is recognizing the source, which means if you're going to transform, when you have the state, is knowing that you're the state. You're the one that's creating the state. Mm-hmm. You're experiencing it. It's alive as you. And then you can transform at really light speed. Mm-hmm. If you think it's outside of yourself, that's when you get stuck.
Yeah.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Then you become dependent or addicted on a state. And then you become a love addict and you go from one relationship or a drug addict and you go, right?
Yep.
So that's not it.
No.
You're it. That's you.
It's you. Right.
Okay.
It's you. And that's, whether it's Kriya Yoga or Transcendental Meditation or Vipassana or Centering Prayer or Mantra Meditation, Japa Yoga, all designed, right?
Here's
it's
another
all designed
one
to create that.
Falling off a jungle gym. That's what I did. That's when I was about 7 or 8.
Yeah.
I dropped on my head and I was in a coma for 3 days. Like I wasn't around, right?
Right.
And when I came out, I was like, it's all okay. So you can do all the meditation or just drop on your head.
And you've had that experience too, right?
Oh,
I mean, I remember you were telling me you were sitting outside on the deck and you were... I mean, we're almost done. I want you to tell this, but would you say that what we're describing today is an accurate description of what you've experienced in your personal life on this path of awakening?
Yes, it is. It's when that night, summer night, beautiful, we've got these 150-foot fir trees in our backyard, but I was out on the deck, beautiful summer night. And I get a call from Adam with a big yes, saying that he wanted to go on this mandatory father-son retreat. And that's when we made this connection.
I realized that my human father and my divine father are one.
And I realized that my divine son and my human son are one.
Right. They're both, right?
We connected, yes.
Oh, man. Yeah, I'd say you'd call that a connection.
Well, that's great.
This has been so boring. I just am. When is this hour going to be over? I really appreciate everyone out there who's listening and tuning into this. I encourage you to connect with me at adamsewardcounseling.net. I encourage you to connect with my dad at
richardseward.com
and Paul DeFuria at
foreclosurefairness.net.
We're here to help you. Thanks again for tuning in. Thank you, Paul, for all your insight today.
It's fun. You, thank you so much, guys.
Fun to have you.
We'll see you all next week. Awaken Life, Talk Radio Evolved.